Not many of you out there thought that we would ever retreat to below $100 per hundredweight in the cash-fed cattle market after spending several years above that mark. Yes, indeed, the market did dip down below that $100 threshold last week, and we'll visit about that and whether there's any light at the end of this tunnel. With Jim Robb joining us now from the Livestock Marketing Information Center. He directs that center out of Denver. It is a project, to remind you once again, co-sponsored by K-State and numerous other land-grant universities. Jim, very, very few people out there ever dreamed that we would see this market slip so badly, but it clearly has, and one wonders where the bottom of this will be.
Difficult to tell, Eric. This is one of those time frames where the market is... It's always difficult to call a bottom, whether we're looking at the futures market or the cash market, and that's the time frame that we're in. As you mentioned, the prices are softer, but you know, part of the story is clearly beef production and overall total red meat production. If we look at this past week, beef production was up 25 million pounds from the same week a year ago, which doesn't seem like a whole lot. But if we look back over total red meat and poultry, over the last 5 weeks, it's averaged up 54 million pounds every week above a year ago. So we've gone 4 or 5 weeks here putting 54 million pounds more than last year of red meat into the marketplace. And on average, about half of that increase has come from beef and half from pork. And on the pork side, we got a little reprieve this past week in terms of production because the hurricane actually dampened output out of the North Carolina big processing plant. So we're kind of waiting to see if there's a bit of another shoe to drop, Eric, in this total red meat context, because are we going to bounce back up to that 54, 55 million pounds a week year-over-year increase, or are we through some of that, and is the market, you know, the difficulty has been for the whole marketing chain to adjust to that huge increase in beef production all the way through to the grocery stores and restaurants, and, you know, it takes a while to do that. I doubt if we're there yet completely, but we'll see if we've made progress on that front.
And just to add to that storyline on the pork side as a competing meat, we have heard these anecdotes that there is great concern about availability of shackle space, period, for the volume of pork out there. And so it just adds to the pressure.
Adds to the pressure, adds to the uncertainty as we look ahead, and adds to the kind of the status of the market for a lot of the buyers. There's plenty of product out ahead, so they're not very aggressive in buying, and it's kind of a hand-to-mouth with lots of supply around us.
On the demand front, boxed beef last week?
On a week, it was slightly lower this past week, but we didn't lose a lot of ground. And on Friday of last week, we actually strengthened a little bit. Not huge volume, which is a bit surprising given how much we processed. Now, a lot of the, you know, the negotiated cash market on the meat side is just like the negotiated cash market on the cattle side. A lot of these is formula price product, and that's sort of flying out the door.
You say that if there is any sort of silver lining for beef demand, the byproduct market has come back some after being rather lethargic for a while.
It has been, Eric, and that's a, you know, it's not a big bright spot, but it is important. We're actually getting the byproduct values up above a year ago slightly. And these are heavily driven by the export market. So much like the rest of the export profile, we're seeing some demand improvement. The lower prices are certainly increasing the quantity that we're able to export. But we also think there's a little bit of demand improvement in the export markets. And that's partly due to the Australian situation as they have really pulled back their slaughter levels. And we look at Australia and their cattle prices are record high. So their exports have dampened, and hide exports and other exports have really opened the door for more U.S. exports of those byproducts. So that's something that we are getting some year-to-year increases, and again, reflects the export market, and we'll see if that trend can continue in that big picture of the export profile.
And in fact, we visited last week with your counterpart at Oklahoma State University, Darrell Peel, about those latest export numbers. You also commented on those on the LMIC.info website. But again, that is the hope for this market, it would seem, in the immediate future here to at least help turn this trade around.
Yeah, on the fed cattle side, at least we're laying a foundation for some things to be turning in the right direction. Now, on the calf and yearling side, we saw more softness this past week. Mm-hmm. I think one thing we want to bring out, Eric, is that especially in some of these early auctions that are coming in with these fall weaned calves, that the animals that are just weaned off the truck or barely weaned or short weaned are really, in many of these auction markets, taking quite a bit more discount. So we need to understand that as we've increased these cattle supplies, there's now probably more differentiation happening in some of our cattle markets than we've seen in recent years in terms of the quality profile of these calves, especially coming to market this time of year.
And once more, ample numbers, a product of expansion plans here the last several months, which may be tempered considerably given the tone of the times.
At the tone of the times, they're certainly laying the foundation. I think we've already started that. Still going to see a year-over-year increase in the number of beef cows in the U.S. as of January 1, 2017. But we think we've already started the transition of more heifers entering the slaughter mix. The first signs will be more apparent as we get into early 2017. The change in direction in terms of the rate of herd growth, and it could be coming quicker rather than later, and largely driven by the economics of the marketplace.
Well, Jim, looking ahead to this coming Friday, another USDA Cattle on Feed report, which of course are posted monthly, what's the general anticipation by the trade and other market watchers?
Well, I think this is a case where people are going to closely watch the USDA report. We have placements up year over year 3.6%. If you had asked me a month ago, I would have said we'll get at least 5%. That really matches the growth in the calf crop in the last year or two. But that number could be a little bit too high. Marketing's remained aggressive. We've had month after month of aggressive marketings by feedlots. Complete contrast to last year. So we have marketings up 7.2% year over year. If those numbers come to fruition, Eric, the on-feed inventory will be just 1% above a year ago. So this is not a market with 5 or 10% more cattle than a year ago that need to come to market. It's a 1% more environment. And if we look across the country, the latest data that just came out today for some of the southern plains suggests maybe that these placements could be even lower. The main driver is the economics, as we talked about earlier. Our estimated cattle feeding closeouts for the month of September were the deepest in the red since the month of February this year. So we had a real backpedaling in terms of profitability of cattle sold by feedlots. Now we're assuming unhedged and those kind of cash market situation. But some of these cattle feeders are needing and having to pull in their horns rather quickly given the month-after-month losses that we've had for much of the last 2 years.
And taking that further with the 30,000-foot view, if you will, Jim, how much more can feedlots endure in regard to the red ink before we start to see more dramatic circumstances, and that would be largely in the form of lot closures?
Well, we've done some of that already, as you know, Eric, but I think as we talk to our members around the country, we're seeing less excitement from the Midwest traditional farmer feeder than there even was last year at this time. So, and they've done some delayed buying as we've got into early corn harvest, some of the calves that they traditionally buy, with a huge corn crop coming forward. So there's some concern there. If we look in Canada, just a few weeks ago, the largest cattle feeder in Canada shut down and is phasing out operations. Their total capacity was about 100,000 head. The number on feed, according to our sources in Canada, that they're as they're ramping down, was about 85,000 head recently. So these adjustments, we think, probably continue a little bit. Now, as I've traveled around the country, though, I see quite a difference across feedlots. I've seen feedlots that are essentially full. And I've seen feedlots that are commercial size, Eric, that are probably about 30% of capacity. So there seems to be a real differentiation that's hard to pick out. And so the bottom line is the USDA placement number and cattle on feed report is really going to give us a better picture of this changing situation, but also one that may vary one feedlot to the next in terms of what they're able to do in this economic environment and with the losses they posted in recent years.
So we will watch with great intent the USDA's cattle on feed report, again, out this coming Friday. As for the market trend between now and then, Jim, any hint as to whether this market can at least find something in the way of footing?
Well, it's difficult to see at this point, Eric, which may be that we're getting closer. Below a dollar a pound, as you say, on the fed cattle side, that's a level that we really did not anticipate. You know, markets do overreact. Whether we're at that point yet now, I think we'll have to see what happens over the next 2 weeks or so.
Very good. Well, hard to get enthused about discussing the situation, but that is what is at hand, and that would be difficulties in the cattle markets, to be sure. But your insight is appreciated right here, Jim, as always, and we'll catch up with you again in the not-too-distant future. Many thanks for your time.
It's been my pleasure, Eric.
Remarks on the cattle price trends from Jim Robb, the director of the Livestock Marketing Information Center based in Denver.